read the first 30 verses. The text we'll consider are the first 24, but we'll go a little bit farther to verse 30. Daniel chapter 2. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I've dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, and it changes that the language in the text changes at this point from Hebrew to Aramaic. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, The thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. Ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. It is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, Why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. And Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen, and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, The secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed what should come pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, the secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have, more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. So far we read from the Holy Scriptures this evening. Dearly beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, it's a joy to think of the fact that God makes known to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our salvation. You know, you think of how we confess that. We confess that Jesus is the Christ, Christ meaning anointed one. He's anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our prophet, priest, and king. And with regard to him as our prophet, we say this is what Jesus does. He reveals to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption. And you think of how that's related to what we read of here. Daniel is a prophet of God. And we think of how the Spirit is in Daniel. We think of how the Spirit of Christ guided the saints and spoke. We think of how the Spirit spoke through the prophets. Christ, by the Spirit, makes known to us the secret. The secret was revealed to Daniel. It's said a number of times in this passage. There's a number of references to this idea of the revealing of secrets. Like verse 28. There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and makes known to the king what shall be in the latter days. Now, when we think of that, we think of the fact that anybody can have this book. And our children, the children here, understand this at a pretty young age. The idea that if God tells us his secret doesn't mean that we have this book that nobody else can read. What God makes known to us is right here. It's not that he makes known to us something in addition to what's here, but we have it right here in this book. Yeah, we recognize that though this book is available and almost anybody can read it, it's been translated into many different languages, that only some are given the grace to understand and have their understanding opened by God, given eyes to see and ears to hear. Even though the unbelievers perceive certain things when they read the word, yet that spiritual understanding, that love of the truth, is only in the people of God. This prophecy of Daniel brings that out. The fact that you see King Nebuchadnezzar, he has this dream. He wants to know what it means. He doesn't know what it means. And he's looking for somebody to explain to him what it means. Well, the same thing could be said broader about the scriptures. That even if they can read the scriptures, the question is, well, what does it mean? What is it saying? There's a God who reveals secrets. There's a God who works in his people to understand the word. And we're to seek that understanding. Just as Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we often think of them as by those names, but their real names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Daniel and his friends prayed to God that God would make known to them what the king's dream was and the meaning. And God heard the prayer. So today we can apply that to ourselves. We read in the passage, we read in Scripture of many things. And there's many times when we read the scriptures ourselves, and if somebody asks us, what does that mean? We would say, I don't know. There's many visions, there's many dreams recorded in scripture that when you read it, first, if somebody asks you that, you don't know what it means. You have to search for it. You have to pray. You have to search, comparing scripture with scripture. You look for some that may that are sound in explaining the scriptures. You always got to read with discernment. You take notice of any references to our confessions to the ideas that are spoken of in the scripture and so on. But you work at it, you look, and you pray to God to guide you. And God does guide us. And we recognize that we make progress. Our whole life we stand amazed at how much we have to learn. We keep learning, we keep learning. And yet when we read the scriptures, we're always amazed at how much more there is to learn. In fact, you can just study one passage, over and over again. And the more time you're studying it, the more you start to see how the different parts of the story are fit together. More things start coming to light. And we recognize that when we study the scriptures together. That as we meet in our societies, the more we meet, the more we discuss it, the more we start to see more clearly what is being talked of in a passage. We look at this passage from the point of view of the secret revealed to Daniel. We look first of all at the hearing of the news, that the occasion of when what was taking place here, and the news that they heard that the wise men were sentenced to death. So we look at that first of all. Secondly, we look at the passage from the viewpoint of looking to God. When Daniel heard the news, that's what he did. He went to God, and he went with his friends to God. And then in the third place, we look at it from the point of view of the glorifying of God. That how God was, we see how God is glorified. When we read this passage, we see how the Jehovah God is glorified. And we see how Daniel himself praised God. Which brings out an important point to us too, that was we ask God for wisdom, and as he gives us wisdom and as he opens our understanding, how important it is for us to thank him, to praise him. Praise him for what he's done. As he reveals himself to us, as we see the glory of Christ, we're to praise his name. The secret revealed to Daniel, hearing the news, looking to God, and glorifying God. First of all, we take note about the dream. Nebuchadnezzar has this dream. It is interesting that this dream is similar to the dream that Pharaoh had. And we recognize a number of similarities. And that's something also that children will often recognize if they ask the question, do you remember a time when something similar to this happened? That's one thing we consider when we study the scriptures. When we look at one passage, it often brings to mind another passage. somewhere else. And there's many times where when studying the scriptures, we end up going back and forth between a couple of passages, maybe a number of different passages that are parallel, that have the same idea. And certainly one of the things we're struck by here is the similarity between what happened here and what happened to Pharaoh in Joseph's days. A number of similarities. Both of them involved a dream that the king, this heathen king, has. And that people aren't, and that he's looking for an interpretation of the dream. That was similar too. And then one of God's people is brought in, that God brings, and God, who controls and directs all things, has it that one of his people is brought in and explains the dream and then is exalted in his position. Well, in those respects, it is similar. We recognize there's other respects in which it's different. In this dream, there were these people of God that had been brought into Babylon, a number of them that had been taken already into captivity in Babylon. In Pharaoh's time, it was just Joseph. Joseph had been brought there, and his family would come down later, but it was Joseph that was the one that was in Egypt. His brothers had sold him into slavery. But now in this case, there are a number of them that had been taken into captivity. And so that's actually a similarity, is that God's people are in the land, or in the case of Joseph, there's Joseph himself is in the land. And it's at that time that this dream is given to a heathen king who is over, who is set in a position by God, set in a position over the people of God, or in the case of Joseph, over Joseph. A noticeable difference, of course, between these two is that the king, in this case, wanted to know the meaning of the dream itself. Wanted to know the dream and the interpretation, not just the interpretation. Pharaoh had just asked for the interpretation. Nebuchadnezzar wanted to know the dream. Now, there is some question about whether or not the king had forgotten the dream. That question has to do with the word in verse 5 that's translated thing. The thing is gone from me. And the question has to do with what is the thing that's gone from him. And there are really two explanations that are given to that. One is the dream, that he means the dream is gone. And others have said that it may refer to that he has made the statement. That the statement that he has made, that you must just tell me the dream and the interpretation. I've made that statement, and that statement has gone forth, and that's going to stand. There is a little difference of opinion on that subject. The word that's translated thing simply means word. It's a word that has one of the meanings of that term is simply word. That the word is gone from me. So it is a little bit difficult to know for sure which one is the correct meaning as to whether or not he had forgotten the dream or not. But what is clear and what is set forth here and is very evident is that what he was demanding was that the wise men tell him the dream and the interpretation, which was beyond what Joseph was asked to do. In fact, the wise men are saying, tell us the dream and we'll tell you the interpretation. And they keep saying, they say that to the king. They try to get the king to tell them the dream. And they say, you tell us the dream, we'll tell you the interpretation. But the king says, if you will not make known unto me the dream, there's but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me. The wise men were liars, of course. He calls the magicians. It says he the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans. These men were liars. And it is evident, it's interesting to see that the king himself says, "Ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me." And in his anger, he declares that they're all to be put to death. Which is another difference, too, that in Nebuchadnezzar's case, when they weren't able to interpret the dream, tell him the dream and the interpretation, he says, "The sentence is death." It's interesting that he didn't ask for and distinguish Daniel and his friends. Daniel and his friends were there, and we read that they were included among the wise men. They were, because when the news was out that all the wise men were to be slain, that was going to include Daniel and his three friends. And one might have asked, well, why didn't he request them to come? Here he was bothered by the dream, and he does not request them. He does not request to hear from those who are servants of the living God, who serve the God in heaven, as he's referred to. There is a God in heaven, and the children of that God, who serve that God, he doesn't specifically call on them. We think of how many do not look to Christ. They may be bothered. They may wonder, what does this book say? What does this book mean? And yet they do not come to Christ. One of the things that this serves to point out, when we look at it from the viewpoint of Nebuchadnezzar, it makes us, we're to think about the darkness that man apart from God is in. We read in Daniel 2, verse 22, when Daniel praises God, he speaks of God as the one who revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Jesus is the light of the world. Those following him are not in darkness. But apart from him is darkness. Another similarity between Pharaoh and Nebuchadnezzar is they were both troubled. Same word is actually used. Nebuchadnezzar dreams and he's troubled, and his sleep break from him. We think of how God says there's no peace. There's no peace for the wicked. They're in darkness. And yet, many of them are aware of the fact that there is this book. You know, you think of Nebuchadnezzar having this dream, and the question is, what does the dream mean? What does it mean? What does it say? Does it say something about me? Does it say something about what's going to happen to me? Whatever his thoughts may have been. Well, you think of applying that to people that are out apart from Christ today, who reject Christ, and yet they know there's this book. What does it say? Does it say something about me? Does it say something about what's going to happen to me? I've heard people talk about what it says. What's going to happen to me? What does that book say is going to happen to me? They have no peace. They don't repent. They don't turn to God for forgiveness and deliverance. They do fear when they hear the subject of judgment mentioned. We read that when Paul was speaking to Felix in the book of Acts, when he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. The ruler Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He trembled. at the thought of judgment to come. Nebuchadnezzar's dream spoke about judgment to come. Apart from Christ, think of what it would be like to be apart from Christ in darkness. In his rage, in his anger, he hates God. He demands the death of all the wise men. And then that news is going to get to Daniel and his friends. It says, "Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, 'Why is the decree so hasty or harsh or severe from the king?' And Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation." That's quite the statement. He hears about this. He goes in. He said he went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and he said with confidence, he said, he would show the king the interpretation. The king is not telling him the dream. And he is confident that he's going to be able to make known the interpretation. God's going to reveal to him the dream and the interpretation. God's going to guide him. He says with confidence, he will show the king the interpretation. In distinction from the others, the wise men that are constantly saying, "Show us the dream, tell us the dream, and we'll tell you the interpretation." He just asked, "Give me time," and he would show the king the interpretation. And then he goes to God. He goes to God in prayer. Now God's counsel is known only by revelation. The things that we know, the things that we believe, we know because God tells us that. Sometimes our own young people or young adults, they might go to a college that might ask them to prove some things without the Bible, things that we know because God tells us. In his word, that's how we know. We have to go to God who tells us, and God has told us in Scripture. Spiritual things. How do you know that you have a spiritual soul, that when you die, your spiritual soul goes to be with Christ in heaven? How are you going to prove that without the Bible? Well, we know it. We have no doubt that it's true, and we can prove it. But the way we prove it is from here. God tells us in his word. That's how we know these things. There are many things that we can prove, and we're certain of them. And this is how we know them. We know about things that are going to happen in the future. We can talk about the signs of Christ's coming. And this vision, and we're not going to get into tonight, but the details of the vision speak about what is going to happen in the future, in the latter days. And we know these things. We know certain things. We know insofar as God has revealed it to us. And if somebody says, "How can you prove that that's what's going to happen?" Well, it says right here. "How can you prove that there's going to be this final Antichrist?" Well, the Bible says so. We look to God, who guides us. It is interesting that the wise men, they said, "It's a rare thing that the king requireth, and there's none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh." That's an interesting statement they made. There's none that can do that. None except the gods. And then they make the statement, they don't dwell with flesh. There is a God in heaven that reveals secrets, and he dwells with us. We think of the Word became flesh and dwelt. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we think of the communion that we have with him. He dwells, by the Spirit, he dwells with us. He makes known his Word to us. We believe that, and we constantly go to God requesting it. They requested that they would have time to pray. That's, they said time, and then that was the intention. They request time, and they will make known the interpretation, and now what they're going to do is they're going to pray. Because Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to his companions, his friends, to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven. That's what they requested. Mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. That certainly brings out the importance of us praying for the revelation, that God would give us understanding. Important for us to think of that too. How often do we pray that? Do we ask God to guide us to understand? As opposed to, say, reading a chapter or reading a part of a chapter and thinking, well, you know, I don't know what that means. And then just moving on. And not asking God to guide us and to give us wisdom. And we recognize, too, that we pray to God, but then we also make use of it. You know, God has taught us how to understand and interpret Scripture with Scripture. So we recognize there's work to do. In fact, there's quite a bit of work involved. There's quite a bit of work involved in understanding just, you know, in any part of the Scriptures. We recognize to be certain and to understand what certain things mean, that we have to do a lot of comparing of other parts of Scripture to be able to know for sure what, you know, the statement means. We may end up looking up different words and phrases, how the phrases are used, parallel passages, and so on. But we do that also praying that God would grant us understanding. And then, if we look back over time, well, you see how your understanding has grown over years. If you add, you know, if somebody was to ask you about your understanding growing in the past 10, 15 years, 20 years, and you think, you do recognize that as we pray to God and look to God, as we listen to his word, we gather twice on the Lord's day to hear his word, and we recognize the Spirit does do something. He works in us faith. He causes us to grow in understanding. There's more passages that we remember, so that a lot of times when we're reading something, another passage comes to mind. And that's a passage that you study before, and you had a discussion. Maybe it was in the family devotions. Maybe it was talking about the issue, an issue with somebody else. Maybe it was in your own private devotions. Maybe it was in society. Maybe you heard a sermon preached on it. But you remember other passages that come to mind, and you make use of them as you're studying together, and you recognize what the Spirit is doing within you. Most people ignore this book. They may have it. There's a lot of people that if you ask them if they have a Bible in their house, they may have one in their house. But many people spend very little time looking at it. And then there's others that spend a fair amount of time reading the Bible, but they twist passages left and right. But rarely, it's relatively rare that there are those that are really searching the Word, trying to grow. We all are amazed at how much we have to learn. And we all say, I don't study it as much as I ought. That's true of us all. But we do recognize that God does cause us to grow. And we do learn. We do grow. We learn from young and old. That's another thing that's such a joy. You learn from those older. You learn from those younger. Every year in catechism, the ministers are amazed at the things they'll hear, not only from the older children in catechism, but even from the younger ones. And the younger ones can ask you some questions, as we all know. They can ask you questions that really get you thinking about things. Sometimes they can make connections. We learn together. We recognize our young children are prophets too. And we hear the word of God from our children. It's important that we pray. You know, the first petition is, grant us rightly to know thee. So when we pray the Lord's Prayer, right at the beginning, God is teaching us to pray and ask for this grace. We're to consciously be going to the God of heaven. We recognize, too, that when we pray, we're not to do it mechanically. We're to do it from the viewpoint that there's a God in heaven that can make this known. You think of Daniel and his friends. In this situation, they've heard the news about how they're putting to death the wise men, and they go to God and they ask him for mercy. They desire the mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. Well, you think of how fervently we should pray and be thinking we're talking to the God of heaven. He can tell us. He's the only one that can tell us what it means. And we can talk to him. And we do talk to him, and he hears us, and he answers. He grants us our request. We're to pray with confidence, even the confidence that Daniel showed, as was pointed out. And then we're to be attentive. As we read, as we hear the word, we're to be attentive. We work at that. It's easy for us to not be attentive as we ought, not only when we hear the word explained from Sabbath to Sabbath, but it's also the case when we read it, it's easy to read it too and to not even know for sure what was said. We talk to our children about that. We talk to you children here about that. You know, you can have devotion, and the father might wonder if the children are really paying attention, and maybe you just reading just a number of verses and saying, so what have we read so far? And somebody said, well, they really can't say. And if you say, well, just anything you read so far. And then we think of how sad it is if we say, you know, I don't know anything of what was read. And then let's read it again. And then you read it again. And how important it is for us to be attentive. We recognize we all have a tendency not to be. And then we ask God for that grace too, to fight our sinful nature and to be attentive as we read. Of course, you know, it's important to think of what a blessing it is that God works in us faith. Many hear only outwardly. You know, Nebuchadnezzar here is going to have the dream told to him and the interpretation. So he's going to hear the dream. And then he's going to hear the interpretation and the effect that it has on him. When he hears that, it says the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. Imagine that. The king falls upon his face. And then the king answered, and Daniel said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. And yet, did he believe? You know, was there repentance? Many can hear Many could hear you explain a passage. You know, you could have a person, an unbeliever, that doesn't understand a passage, and then you could explain it to them. If you understood it, you could say, well, I can tell you what that means, and you explain it to them, an unbeliever can hear your explanation and still not cling to it. Man by nature doesn't want it. He rejects it. He may wonder, what does this book say, or what does this passage mean? But he really doesn't want what God says. By the grace of God, we believe what God tells us about salvation. Even though many people reject it, we recognize that God speaks of particular salvation and the desire to save only some people. There are some that that study the Bible a lot, and yet they reject that fundamental truth that's revealed so clearly in Scripture. That God desires to save a particular people, and that He saves everyone that He intends to save. That His will is always accomplished. And that He's the one that is governing and directing all things. Many people reject the truth concerning creation. We believe what God says about creation, even though the people of the world reject it. We believe what God says about providence, that He is the one that sets up kings, and He's the one that takes down kings. We confess that. He's the one sovereignly directing all things. Many people do not believe that. There are many that say they hold to the Scriptures, that if you ask them about creation, they don't believe that what we read in Genesis is actually a record of what really happened. And then when you talk to them about providence, they don't think that God's will, that God is always accomplishing His will, that is good pleasure. That He says, as He says, my counsel shall stand, I shall do all my pleasure. Many reject that. We believe what the Word of God says. No matter what the world may say, you know, these men were to study the Chaldean learning. That was mentioned in Daniel chapter 1. They were to study the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So they do that. They learn the language. They learn the learning, the education, the thoughts of the Chaldeans. Yet they don't forsake God. They believe, they cling to that truth. Just like we say when we make confession of faith, we say, are you resolved by the grace of God to adhere to the doctrine? Not only acknowledging that it's true, not only that you acknowledge that what you were taught was true, but that you cling to it. That even if you're in the midst of the world, as these were, in the midst of Babylon, even if you're surrounded by unbelievers, that you cling to that truth and you confess it before men. They look to God for the revelation, and the Lord revealed it. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel. And right after that, we read, then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, he answered. God made known something to him, and he answered. We think of that communication. We pray to God, God guides us to understand, and then we speak to Him again. And we praise Him. And you think of making reference to things that He taught you. Making reference in prayer to things that you heard God say to you personally. Well, that's what Daniel does. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. And this kind of gets into the dream itself. but that, you know, we're familiar with that dream and understanding it speaks of that. That God is the one who removes kings and he sets up kings. And as God makes that known, and makes known the dream to Daniel, then he praises him in prayer and makes a reference to what God has said to him. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. They sought the revelation, and then they praise God for giving wisdom and knowledge. Thanking him. Praising him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers. That's a beautiful statement too. To think of praising God and thanking God and calling him God of my fathers. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might. We pray that. We have much to grow in wisdom. And yet it is true. He has given us wisdom and might, and we thank him. Has made known unto me now what we desired of thee. How important it is that we thank God. When we read that, it's easy, it's good for us to think. You know, how often when I pray to God to guide us to understand something, then, you know, for me personally to understand something, then how often if I learn something, how often do I then turn around and thank him? And how often do I actually make a reference to things that he taught me? That there's this back and forth communication. Covenant fellowship. And we thank God for what he makes known to us. We marvel at his works. That we think of God and his wondrous works. And we praise him. We exalt his name. We exalt his name. The name of Jesus Christ. For we think of the fact, when we talk about him as setteth up kings, we think of the fact that Christ is the king who sits at the right hand of God. And that vision that Nebuchadnezzar saw pointed to that. There was that stone. That stone that came. And we read of what that stone did. The stone smote the image and became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Think about Christ and the kingdom of Christ. We praise him. We praise our God. We praise our Lord and Savior. You know, we look at this whole history and we see how God is glorified. The king here is humble. So are the wise men. They couldn't explain it. Wise men couldn't explain it. The king has this dream and he's troubled. He has to acknowledge he doesn't know what it means. The one who's glorified is Jehovah God. He is the one that is exalted. All those who oppose him will be brought low. And we think about how those that God speaks about, how those who reject Christ, they will be brought low. God's name will be exalted. And may we be granted the grace also not only to glorify our God and thank him and praise him for what he makes known to us, but also to have the courage to be able to make known the truth before men. Now God's going to speak through Daniel about this vision, and he's going to say to Nebuchadnezzar, "Thou art this head of gold." But then he's not only going to say, "Thou art the head of gold," but he's also going to get to that point, and then there's this stone that smotes the image, and it becomes a great mountain and fills the whole earth. It smote the image. We need courage also to make known. You think of other, the other revelations that come later on in the book, too. We have to ask God for the grace to understand the word and praise him for making it known to us, but then we also have to think about what we started. We thought about Jesus being the prophet that makes known to us the secret counsel and will of God. Well, on that same Lord's Day, it says, well, you're prophets too. You're in Christ. You partake of his anointing. And you're to make known the word of God. We know that the day of new revelation that went into the Bible is finished. But God keeps guiding us to understand what's in the scriptures, and then we're supposed to tell others what God says. Even if we're standing in the midst of unbelievers, we're supposed to speak up. We ask God for the courage also to do that. We're inclined not to. In many situations, we may look around and think, I don't think anybody here is going to believe this. And we're inclined not to speak. But we're resolved, by the grace of God, to adhere to the doctrine. And we're purposing in our life to glorify our God. And God is glorified when we make known his word. That word, you know, there's a twofold purpose. We understand that. God accomplishes his purpose. Our desire is to glorify him. And we ask for the grace, the courage to bear witness to the truth. And to think, we're prophets. We're to speak. We speak in our homes about the word. We prophesy in the homes. We think of women prophesying in the home, teaching the word to the children. You think of how we, in the congregation, that we prophesy as we talk about the word together. Men and women, adults and children, we talk about the word and we prophesy. We speak the word of God. But we also recognize that also when we go outside of where those of like faith are, we're to bear witness to that truth. May God grant us that grace too. May we have the courage to do that. May we seek that from God. The courage, the strength to do so with confidence. The Lord is with us. The God is with us. We need not fear. You think of how in the book of Daniel, that's one of the things these even young men, with courage, God will be with us. Even if they're threatened with a fiery furnace, they're going to stand firm. They're going to show they love their God and that they're not afraid to confess him. May the Lord grant us that grace to confess Christ to the honor, to the glory of his name. Amen. Our Lord and our God, we are thankful that thou dost reveal thyself to us. We're thankful that we know thee to be our God. We know thou art our Father. We know that we dwell in Christ and we shall for always be in him. May we, with confidence and with that boldness of faith, glorify thee. We live in dark days. We live in the midst of this evil world. And when we think of Babylon, we think of how the book of Revelation speaks to us about the fall of Babylon. We think of Christ and his kingdom. We think of how thou art the one that's sovereign over all. And thou dost give wisdom. Thou dost tell us to ask of thee. We do ask of thee, O Lord our God. Grant us wisdom. Grant us and our children wisdom, that we may grow in wisdom and understanding, and courage to confess that truth over against what the world says, to the honor of thy name. Grant this to us. Grant this to all of thy people, we pray. Forgive our sins, for Christ's sake. Amen.